Also say they stick with accountants and pick accountants because of their ability to explain procedures in terms they can understand, their willingness to give advice, and our perceived honesty. Well, we can take both sides of this coin, and we can begin to construct key predictive indicators that will help us remove timesheets. Because my argument is a very simple one. It's not that timesheets don't have any value whatsoever. There's no doubt that they do. You can glean some things from recording time. My argument is different. My argument is saying that the costs of doing a timesheet exceed their benefits. And since I also would argue that timesheets are a form of negative intellectual capital because they're not helping us do things better in the future. We seem to, as a profession, to make the same mistakes over and over. And if you replace timesheets with all the things that I've talked about here, after action reviews, before after reviews, and project management and KPIs, that you'll actually enhance your intellectual capital. It actually builds the firm's intellectual capital to do these other things. So, again, let's keep in mind that the most important characteristics of a KPI is they define success the same way the customer defines success. And folks, let's be honest. What client of an accounting firm defines success by how many hours we bill? It's just the most useless metric from the client standpoint. And look how much time, money, effort goes into measuring those hours. We spend a fortune on time and billings. We have to input time and billings. We have to print out reports from those time and billings. Waste an enormous amount of time, you know, time and resources that are better shifted to pricing customers up front for value rather than time, and you know, reducing client anxiety and everything else. So what are some KPIs that firms out there in the real world are working with that don't have timesheets? Well, the number one favorite one that we've seen, and I must say, not all firms use this, and that's key. I mean, I am not suggesting that these are the KPIs or that these are the three KPIs, just like the airlines, that you should use. I'm just showing you a menu of some of the KPIs other firms have selected, but turnaround time seems to be a favored one because it at least it gives firms and leaders a bit of control. They can assign things and they can say, okay, I want this back on my desk at you know, in a week or 10 days or whatever. And if it's not there, then they go talk to the person and say, what's the problem? You know, did I give you something you couldn't do? Did the scope change? All of these things will come out in real time. Whereas if you're just looking at a timesheet, you only find out that the job went south after the fact. But with a turnaround time KPI, you might be able to head it off before there's catastrophe. Other favorite KPIs, especially that deal with customer success, are, well, what are the number of customer contacts that the firm has had with this particular customer? I mean, if customers are leaving because they perceive that we're indifferent to them, that they perceive that we ignore them, shouldn't we have some metric that tracks not only the quantity of contacts, be it email, lunches, meetings, whatever, but also the quality of those contacts? What actually resulted? I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, I had five lunches this week. Yeah, well, okay, so what? What happened? You know, did you deepen the relationship? Did you get more work? Were you referred to somebody else? I mean, there's all sorts of things that happen that can't be quantified just by looking at the number of contacts you had. There's got to be some context to it as well. What share of customer wallet are we getting for each customer? In other words, if you're a firm that does audit, tax, and consulting, say, and you know how much your client spends on those three things, because you've got their income statement, you can see it, what percentage of that goes to your firm as opposed to your firm's competition? What about the value gap? What about the idea of, okay, this is what we are yielding from the client this particular year, this is how much revenue we derived. But what is the revenue that we could derive if they purchased everything that we think they need? Like they need estate planning, they need other types of services that they're not currently getting. And how is the firm going to close that gap this coming year? What's your plan to close that gap? It may mean that you have to recommend somebody else in your firm to do something that maybe you're not the expert in. It may mean that you might have to go out and do a joint venture with another firm to bring needed services to that client. But what we like about this is it's focusing on the client's success. It's saying, look, we're thinking about these other things for you. We really think you need to look into these other services. It's not just a way to sell more. It's selling I mean, it does sell more, but that's not its main goal. The main goal is to help the client with what they need. So that's why we call it a value gap. Another thing that some firms like to look at is customer referrals. Obviously, if you're getting customer referrals, that's a good thing. And of course, some firms go to the trouble of looking at the Net Promoter Score. It's a book by Frederick Reichheld. You might want to check that out. He's got a whole theory about the Net Promoter Score. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I have seen some firms utilize it and other companies utilize it that he documents in the book. It seems to be working for them. But again, the Net Promoter Score is just a theory. So it's still subject to being falsified. So again, back to the beginning, what replaces timesheets? Price-led costing, project management, key predictive indicators, after-action reviews, before-action reviews, fixed price agreements and change orders, and the chief value officer and error pricing cartel. My argument is if you do these things, like these 500-plus firms around the world are doing, this is how you can get rid of timesheets in your firm. Now, does that mean that this list is easy? No, not at all. I think billing by the hour and I think keeping timesheets are very simple. It requires no creativity. It requires no imagination. It requires no concept of value. It requires no concept of project management. It requires no definition of customer success. I mean, it's probably the easiest thing to do, fill out a timesheet, spit it into the time and billing program, and kick out a bill. But it has nothing to do with value to the client. So it's like my colleague Ed Kless said from the picture with the newborn baby. He said, fine, if you suck at what you do, bill by the hour. Well, he's also got another law that says timesheets are needed in reverse proportion to your skill in project management. In other words, if you have excellent skills in project management, allocating resources and coming up with deadlines and taking into account risk and other factors, you don't need timesheets. You know, you look at companies that do enormous projects, build airplanes, look at Airbus, look at Boeing. These people aren't doing timesheets, but they are doing incredible project management in order to, get their projects done on time. Now, obviously, Airbus and Boeing are having problems with their project management. We don't live in a perfect world, but at least they're finding out about those problems way ahead of time as opposed to, you know, looking at timesheets, which are nothing but history. So this is what's actually replacing timesheets. And I just have to say, this is no longer a theoretical debate. I mean, when I started espousing that we need to get rid of timesheets in 2001, I was amazed how many people told me, oh, Bob, at Baker, but we work in the real world. Give me a break. You know, you're just a theorist. You're just an ivory tower guy. Even though I had trashed timesheets in my firm, in 1991 and ran an accounting firm for a decade without timesheets, I would still get people who were highly skeptical of this. Even though I had found other firms even in the 90s that were doing the same thing. This is no longer a theory. This is out there. And we have provided so much intellectual capital on this topic. I'm going to come out of PowerPoint here and I'm just going to show you our website just for a minute. You can go to verisage.com and you can see just enormous amounts of blog posts and case studies from what we call the trailblazer firms about getting rid of timesheets. I'm showing you here a blog post on the McKinsey Maxim and why I think it's complete hokum. There's also support posts up here and case studies from firms that have actually done this. And most are written by the managing partners, some are written by the team members, talking about how their life has changed by focusing on results and value, that value pricing forces you to focus on, rather than inputs and activities and efforts, which timesheets force you to look at. So that's kind of where we are. So why don't we do this, Craig? I know it's about 10:15, we got about 15 minutes left. Why don't we open it up to questions? And we'll see where that takes us. The first step is probably to meet as a firm and do it. This is exactly what Fred Smith did. He met with the firm and said, okay, what's the hierarchy of horrors? What are the worst things that we do to our customers? What upsets them and what pleases them? And from that, you can develop KPIs that either encourage that behavior or discourage that behavior. So, you know, if this is how we get some of those KPIs like client contact and turnaround time, you know, clients complain all the time. They never know when their work is coming out. Well, gee, if we could give them, say, look, you submit your information on this date, you're going to get it back completed by this date. Now, I know there's all sorts of reasons why that you might not be able to deliver on that date. The client may have to give you more information after you get in, but those are the exceptions. The bottom line is firms should be able to tell somebody when their project is going to be done. I mean, we do this all day. This is what we do for a living. We're supposed to be the pros. Sure, there are exceptions, but you can keep the client informed, and they love that. So that my first step would be have a firm meeting, since firms are filled with knowledge workers who are thinking people. They know what makes for a happy client. Your team members are the best source probably for KPIs because they're at the coalface. They know what makes clients happy. They know what upsets clients. And by looking at some of these other KPIs that other firms have selected, you'd be amazed how many great KPIs you'll be able to generate from a brainstorming session. That would be my recommendation for first step. It's nonsense. Knowing how a staff spends their time doesn't tell you their interpersonal skills. I think leaders should know how staff spend their time. I mean, they work with them 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day. I mean, if they don't know that, what do they know? Who cares how somebody's spending their time as long as they're effective? I mean, was Einstein on budget for his research? Who the hell cares? This is the problem with this. The problem with this question, I'm not picking on the person who asked this question. We get it all the time. But the problem is we have this industrial era mindset that our employees are factory workers. They're knowledge workers. You can't micromanage a knowledge worker. I can't stand over a knowledge worker and micromanage them. Hey, do that tax return faster. Hey, have a creative tax idea in the next 10 minutes, will you? Who cares? You judge a knowledge worker. You judge them. You don't measure them. You judge them based upon the quality of their work, their service attitude, their passion, their commitment, what the clients say about them. I mean, all these are far more important than looking at how many hours they lie on a timesheet. You don't need this. Now, we don't have time to get into it, but I actually, in the PowerPoints, I put up some issues around team members. What kind of KPIs would we have for team members? And firms have KPIs for team members. The difference is they tend to be very qualitative and very judgmental. They require judgment and discernment, not measurement. My basic context, another reason why I wrote Measure What Matters was we can't measure the productivity of a staff worker. You have no idea what's going on inside the knowledge worker's head because you can't see it. You have to discern it and judge it from their output. The only reason we track their time, their input, is because it's easier. So just because we can measure something doesn't make it important. That goes back to the McKinsey fallacy, and that fallacy is an industrial era model of thinking that just needs to be replaced in a knowledge environment. Dangers of trashing the... Oh, incredible dangers. If you're a crappy pricer and you get rid of timesheets, you could take a hit in profitability. Some firms have gotten rid of timesheets and brought them back. And they say, oh, well, this just doesn't work. Well, the reason it doesn't work is they're lousy pricers. They quoted a price that was too low to begin with, or they didn't catch change orders, so they didn't catch scope creep. If you're a lousy leader, no timesheets will be an enormous problem. If you don't trust your people, getting rid of timesheets will be an enormous problem. If you think you have to micromanage every second of a knowledge worker's life, then getting rid of timesheets will cause problems. And I'm not being facetious with this. I mean, if you hire smart people who have college degrees and work with their heads, we can't micromanage these people. I can't tell a knowledge worker how to do something. They have to figure out and define the task for themselves. The best we can do as leaders is judge their results and do after-action reviews and do before-action reviews. So if you're not willing to do after-action reviews and project management, then I would say trashing timesheets would be a bad idea. If you don't want to attract great talent, I think trashing timesheets is a bad idea. The firms out there that have trashed timesheets, the number one benefit they say from it is it's a great lightning rod to attract talent. Imagine telling a 5-7 year employee, hey, if you work here, you don't have to do a timesheet. We're not going to treat you like a kid. You're an adult. You're a knowledge worker. We're going to treat you like an adult. That seems to be the biggest advantage. But there are some inherent dangers, but I would say they all revolve around lousy leadership.